A trusted voice of truth and light.
The narratives that mislead most of us aren't outright lies. They're the deliberate omission of facts that could give us a more complete picture.
And a rally point for those who've accepted the reality that they are not sheep.
The world needs your leadership, and the essence of leadership is using your influence wisely, wherever you happen to be standing.
This is the Brian Hyde Show.
Hey, once again, welcome to the show. Fellow wrong thinkers, let us get together and revel in wrong think. And one of my favorite wrong thinkers now joining me, that would be my friend Gary Welch. Hello there.
And as always, it's a privilege to represent the global wrong thinker society of the world.
And Gary, I just pray that our numbers are growing like the number of COVID cases. It would be a happier number, you know, to be sure. But actually, we have so much to talk about today. Look, before we jump into that, though, I want to just set the stage here a little bit. When you and I talk about wrong think, I want people to understand this is not just a matter of, oh, yeah, a couple guys getting together to be contrarians. There's a very specific purpose of why we encourage people to revel in wrong think. Would you care to expound on that for a moment?
In the United States right now, there is a culture and there's a mentality, and this represents the status quo. Every once in a while, there is that voice, there is those individuals that stand up, and they point a light at it and they look and they go, look, it's not what you think it is. It's not right. We need to change. And those people are the wrong thinkers. Oh, you guys are radicals. Oh, you guys are the bad guys. Oh, you're the trying to upset the apple cart. And everybody's rails against them. And it's those brave, courageous people, of which this country was created for. It was absolutely created for that person to stand up and say, I think we're going the wrong way, and I want to tell you why. That, to me, represents the wrong thinkers.
I want to share an example of a conversation I had with a friend. This is a friend I haven't spoken with in several years, and she popped up in a discussion on Facebook regarding COVID, and specifically about Ammon Bundy and the football game that was stopped because he stood outside the stadium not wearing a mask. And, you know, she is 100% invested in the fear that this is a terrible epidemic. People are dying left and right. And I very gently explained, I just don't see it that way. I think that the statistics have been I think the cases have been over-exaggerated and aggrandized to keep us in a state of fear. And furthermore, I think that state of fear is being used by power seekers and opportunists to take what remains of our personal liberties. And that's why I just can't agree with that. And her reaction wasn't anger. It was just simply, I'm stunned. And right there, I'm going, OK, there's the disconnect. And I'm not sharing the see how wrong she is. She very sincerely believes what she believes. But look at the task that we have, because she's not the only one. There are a lot of people out there who believe this way, that this is, you know, this is so horrendous. It's the worst thing. And there's a mentality that seems to arise from this. And I'm talking about society in general. OK, so it's not just I'm not pointing the finger at her, but it's like the most important thing that any of us can do with our lives at this point, Gary, is avoid COVID-19. And I disagree, because I don't think it can be avoided. No matter how hard we try, it's going to make its way through society. And I think we have to face the fact that it's a virus. And like other viruses, we will achieve herd immunity eventually. But in the meantime, we can't act like this thing is the bubonic plague reborn.
And you and I have had multiple conversations. We talked about this in different ways on the time that I'm with you. But it's always based on that same conversation, and that one of the problems with the status quo thinking right now is that we have this all-knowing, all-powerful government that can solve anything. And they feel like, yeah, and this was the case in point. Yeah, there is this disease, this virus, that has all of the attributes of a virus, and we know everything about it, but we actually think we can control it, that we can dominate it, and through science and through policy and through all these things we do, we can have different outcomes than what nature and God has determined, because we're the government. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, Yeah, I'm with that.
Well, and let's dive right in, okay? Because another level of intrigue was added last week when it was revealed President Trump tested positive for COVID-19. And, you know, off he went to Walter Reed Medical Center. I thought it was interesting. Who was it? Brian Stelter from CNN. Well, the president didn't even stop to take questions on his way to whatever the helicopter is, you know, Chopper 1 to take him, you know, to the hospital. I'm like, yeah, of course, because... That's what you do when you have COVID-19. You stop and you field questions from a friendly and supportive press corps. Not.
Yeah, they got it out for them, don't they? I mean, they're making it so obvious in everything that they do with him that they've got this axe to grind, and they're not trying to be fair or right at all. They're just trying to get him. It's becoming absolutely obvious.
Well, and this is the thing that surprised me. I'll admit, when I heard that, I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
This could get interesting. Now, the president has it. Now, there are others. You know, the first lady's tested positive. His press secretary has tested positive and others. I thought, wow, this could get serious quickly, especially given the president's age, given the fact he is overweight. But instead, he comes bouncing back like a Super Bowl. And, you know, yesterday he gave a tweet first, and then he stood up and took off his mask after arriving back at the White House and gave this speech about how do not be afraid of this virus. Do not let it dominate and control your life. And I thought, oh, my word, I hope somebody put down some tarps, because I'm sure there are heads exploding left and right among the lockdown crowd that to the president would stand up and say this. And I think the word that they agreed to typify it as irresponsible. What an irresponsible thing to do. Give me your response to I'm sure you've seen the video or seen the tweet. What did you think when you saw that?
Too little, too late.
Ooh, something he should have done long ago.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that he created a PR disaster of his own making. And that was because he agreed with that idiot Fauci about what the COVID was all about. And he said, yes, you should do this. Yes, you should do that. And granted, I do offer him, you know, some credit for restraint, and that he could have took this a lot worse. And again, heaven forbid that if 2016 would have been different with Hillary in place, there would have been a different response by far. But he bought into it. He did promote it. He did go out with it. And he never did the message that you and I had from the very beginning, which is, yes, it's dangerous. Yes, it's a little more deadly than the flu, but it's not a threat. And it's not a threat to most people. All you got to do is protect the vulnerable, which is what the other countries that have had these great outcomes with this, I don't want to say great outcomes, but good outcomes with this, was what they did. He did it. He didn't go down that route. And so now we have this discussion about whether masks are effective or not effective, whether social distancing is effective or not, and what should we do this and that. And we never had the discussion is this thing really a threat? Is this something that we should be having government get involved with? So now because the discussion was about masks, everybody's saying, see, he should have wore a mask. See, he should have social distanced. See, he should have, you know, excluded himself from the environment like Joe Biden has done. Otherwise, he wouldn't have caught this disease. It's a PR disaster. It really is.
There's a lot of medieval thinking going on there. And it's disturbing to me, because the one thing that the press absolutely will not talk about is what about the damage that's being done by the response, by the lockdowns? They'll talk about, oh, but this many cases and why more people have died. And they're still sticking with that number. 210,000 people have died from COVID. And yet, looking at the CDC's numbers, no, 210,000 people have died who may have had COVID in their system, but the ones who actually died from COVID and from not from other comorbidities is something like 10,000, maybe 12,000 people, which, tragic as that may be, doesn't come close to the kind of response that we're seeing or that they're trying to justify, you know, in terms of shutting down society and basically controlling every aspect of people's lives.
And one of the things about COVID is it encapsulates the thing that you and I were talking about last Tuesday, which is, who can you trust? And so let's just kind of go down that list a little bit here and apply it to COVID. Who can you trust when they're talking to you about COVID? Politicians? Absolutely not. The political parties? Absolutely not.
The How about news science? Media?
There you go. See, that's the other one. That was the fifth one. Is scientists. You know, the news media, scientists, and polls. Can you trust the polls? Answer is no. You can't trust any of them.
Okay, we're going to come back to this topic in a few moments. We have a lot to talk about because there's a lot going on here. Gary Welch is my guest. This is the Brian Hyde Show, brought to you by Nikki's Wholesale Food Warehouse, Jeff Staples Real Estate, and also the Staples Turner team at Patriot Home Mortgage. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is the Brian Hyde Show. This is the Brian Hyde Show.
Hey, once again, welcome back to the show. I am visiting with Gary Welch, my fellow wrong thinker. And Gary, we got a couple of topics on the table here. I want to come back for a moment to President Trump. And this is a very loaded question. In fact, I might be veering into the weeds here a little bit, into conspiracy territory, but I've heard this from a number of people, including credible people, asking, so, okay, how sick was he really? Could this possibly be, you know, a masterful political ploy on the president's part to suck the wind out of the sails of the lockdowners? What's your take? Was he as sick as was intimated last Friday?
One of the first questions I asked was, why did he go? All the treatment he received could have been done right there in the White House. It wasn't like he had a surgery or something like that being done to him. He had oxygen therapy, which is very different from a ventilator. Just know that. So oxygen therapy, which is casual, you can do that at home. The medicines he received was at home. Monitoring. He could have done that all from his room. That was my big question, is like, why did you allow that, Don? What's going through your head? And the only thing that I could think of was the doctors were telling him, you have a possibility of dying if we don't get you in.
Interesting. And it's curious, too, some of the concerns. And remember, this is the press, which has been hostile to Donald Trump long before he became president. But some of the things they've been saying is, well, you know, the steroids that they're using. I mean, basically, they gave the impression that the doctors are pumping him full of cocaine and he's going to turn into some political version of Scarface with his finger on the button to launch the nuclear missiles. And therefore, you know, under the 25th Amendment, we probably should remove him from the presidency just in case. And I think, oh, my word, is there nothing that you won't stoop to try to reverse that election of 2016?
And they won't come out and admit that this is all standard medical procedures. One of the things that has happened to reduce the death rate of COVID has been we figured things out. You know, we figured out that the ventilators were doing more harm than good. We figured out that steroids helped a lot. We had the drugs that we are using. You know, I can't go with the names because I can never think of them. But, you know, these drugs, these protocols that we've established, they're using that all the time. What he got was the same thing that they give everybody that's in that situation. It's the same process over and over again. And they're making it sound like it was just him. Like he got some exclusive presidential medical treatment.
Yeah, I understand their hostility, or at least I recognize that's just a part of who they are. But it just seems like no matter what the president does, he's wrong. If he had, you know, he took a lap around, you know, the Walter Reed Medical Center in his motorcade, you know, waving at the supporters who are out there. And apparently, you know, that's just wrong. And, oh, look, he's putting the Secret Service at risk. And, you know, I'm grateful that the president has actually cast some doubt on the COVID is killing us all narrative. But I appreciate you boldly pointing out the PR and the optics of this really weren't that great. Notwithstanding what seems to be a positive outcome for Trump and for his supporters, It could have gone much better and should have done so much earlier and not necessitated a trip to the hospital in the first place.
Well, I'm not sure if he was going to be able to avoid it, because this is the thing that you and I have been talking about all the time. It is a virus. It's going to do its thing, and you can take all the precautions that you want. There are just so many variables that come into play that there is no guarantees you're not going to get it. That he got it, he's a public person in a public environment, should be a shock to no one. You know, that the odds were pretty, he probably had a little higher odds than you and I of catching it, for instance, but that's going to count. The thing of it is I think it was his own ego that got in the way, and we all know that he's got this major ego. And I think I think he really did believe, like, I'm not going to get it. I'm too strong. I'm too good. I'm Donald Trump. I'm not going to get this disease. And so he started down that path. Whereas, like I said, if he would have done this from the very beginning, then he could have used it actually for, it would have helped him, because he would have come out and said, see, I told you, even I as a president can't stop from getting it. I'm protected all the time. I have people looking after me. This disease cannot be stopped by government. And I told you that from the very beginning. Look at what a PR move that would have been. I mean, boy, that just would have blown this whole thing out. But he didn't.
Well, something you have impressed on me is that there's always something going on behind the scenes in politics. Whatever we're seeing out in public, there's something that's behind the scenes related. And maybe I'm saying it poorly, but could you talk a little bit about that? You've worked within politics long enough. You've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. How suspicious should we be based on what we see out there in the public versus what may be going on behind the scenes?
Okay, so you're talking to Mr. Paranoid. I mean, when it comes to what I saw, I am probably the most jaded individual there is out there, because I saw it, I experienced it, I even participated in it. And I didn't drink the Kool-Aid, so I didn't continue down that path and saying it was for the greater good and all that other stuff. I stepped out. I said, that's enough. I cannot do this anymore. I have to walk away. My philosophy is you cannot trust anything. Politics is never, I can almost say that with 100% accuracy, it is never what it appears to be. It is never what you think it is. There is always something going on in the background. Maybe it's subtle. Maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe it's even an outright lie where they're trying to divert you and think it's one thing when it's totally something else. But nothing is as it seems in politics. And that's a weird, weird world that they live in. It's a world of lies. It's a world of deception. And that's on both sides. Man, Democrats and Republicans do it every day.
Well, it's why we need to be very cautious. And in addition to being cautious, it's not enough just to be suspicious of politicians, although that's a good start. But we also need to know where we stand individually. In other words, politics is not the best place to be running on borrowed light, if you get my drift.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that play into that. And here's where, though, it creates the problem, because you get the conspiracy theorists. They would not have a good argument, except for we do know that nothing in politics is as it seems, so that they can put a conspiracy theory on just about everything. Now, maybe, just maybe, his doctor really was concerned. Maybe he felt like it was necessary to put him into the hospital. If that happened to you, nobody would have questioned it. We just would have said, well, yeah, Brian caught it. He's having a little bit of issues, going to the hospital. But because it happened to Donald Trump, now we go, oh, wait a second. This is the deep state rising up and trying to take him out. And, you know, all these things kind of come up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've heard suggestions it was infected swabs. That's how Trump and so many in his inner circle were infected, because apparently they test, you know, everybody coming in and out of the White House. That's just how it goes. And it doesn't sound surprising, but, you know, I don't know what to believe. I know it's an election year, which means the crazy's been dialed up to 11. And when we come back from our break here in just a few moments, Gary, let's talk about the debate last week. I know that, I just want to get your take on the debate. We haven't had a chance to really talk about, your perception of that marvelous exchange of ideas in the tradition of Lincoln Douglas. Not. So we'll pick up there. Just the other side of these messages. Please stay with us.
This is the Brian Hyde Show. This is the Brian Hyde Show.
All right, once again, welcome back to the show. Hey, I just want to mention that you can always check out the show notes at thebrianhydeshow.com. I'm not going to say that I go to great pains to put together, you know, a Pulitzer-worthy collection of essays and notes and you know, my own annotations, because I don't. I'll be blunt. But I do put together a really nice collection of information that I hope you'll find relevant. And importantly, I also provide easy access to the sponsors of this show. For instance, Jeff Staples Real Estate. Jeff is with ERA Brokers Consolidated. And for my listeners within the state of Utah, if you are looking to sell your home for more or buy a home for less, Jeff is the guy that I would steer you toward. You'll find his contact information by going to the bottom of the show notes for today. That's October 6th. And you'll see Jeff Staples Real Estate. Click on the link. It'll take you right to him. And you can contact him. And when you talk to him, please tell him his advertising message reached your ears via this program. Gary Welch is my guest. And Gary, I guess I really should have brought this up at the beginning just because, it's been almost a week now since the presidential debate. Did you watch last week's debate? And if so, what were your thoughts?
I haven't watched a debate in probably 10 years. So I just watch highlights. I I would go to others because there really is nothing substantive in the debate. And again, nothing is as it appears. Nothing they are saying is what is really going on. Everything in there is all for show, for positioning, stuff like that. And I'll talk to you about that. I'll give you some political insider insights into that. But, you know, it's just not worth watching. But I did look at some highlights. I looked at some conspiracy theories. The one I liked the best was that Biden was on drugs, that they gave him some Adderall to get him in tune and stuff like that. And I like that one.
I have to admit, he was way sharper than I thought he was going to be. Based on the different clips that I've seen of him over the last few months, I didn't expect him to really make a coherent showing, but he seemed pretty dialed in. He seemed like he was alert. Trump, on the other hand, seemed quite aggressive right from the beginning. What are your thoughts on that?
So that was exactly the point. And thanks. You really set this up for me. I don't know if you were doing that on purpose, but I appreciate it, because here was the thing. So everybody was like, why was Trump so aggressive? Why was he so attacking and whatnot? And if you understand Donald Trump and you understand how he works and how he thinks and how he does things in business, you'll figure this out really fast. He was trying to put Joe off. Here was the thing. And you just kind of explained it yourself. We believed our own hype. So here's what I did. When I first heard about this, when I saw what Donald Trump was doing, I said, okay, I get it. I know what he's doing. He's trying to get Joe all muffled up, and Joe's going to get all confused, and then he's going to go into a stumble mode, and then he's just going to go, see, I told you. But Joe didn't do it. And so what I did is I started saying, okay, what about this? What about this hype that he is, you know, he's senile, he's got dementia and all these other things. And I started looking at some of his past speeches and things that he's done on the campaign. And guess what? I think it's Republican hype.
Wow.
I don't think the guy is as addled. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed. He's not at full capacity. But to think that this guy is a bumbling, demented, senile, idiot, blathering type of person, no. You just saw that at the debate. That is not that guy. He was ready. He was sharp. He was on. And typically he is. And what I thought was the problem was Trump went into that debate believing that hype with an agenda to promote that. And that was his whole game plan. And when the game plan didn't work, then you saw him kind of struggle with it.
Well, and there was also, as others have pointed out, the fact that Trump was actually debating Biden as well as Chris Wallace simultaneously.
Oh, Chris Wallace was shameful. That was absolutely shameful, both in the type of questions, you know, the softballs that he gave Biden. He didn't ask at all some very critical questions, you know, that everybody, even before the debate, again, you and I talked about this off the air, but these press guys, you know, what I really hate about them is their intent. So they see these things, they got it in front of them, and yet they choose to ignore it or they choose to spin it in a different way. That shows to me purposeful intent. And Wallace knew those questions that he should have been asking Biden about the court, about Antifa, about these other things. And he decided not to, because everybody was saying, if this is the questions that I want to see Biden answer, never came up. That was shameful.
Was it a bad idea for Biden to be there in the first place?
At the debate?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh, no. No. Oh, my goodness. Kudos to Joe. This guy's a sharp politician, man. Everybody, don't sell this guy short or you're going to find him as your president. He is a smart political operative. He knows what he's doing and he knows how he does. He came in there with the good plan, which was, I know what Trump's going to do. He's going to try to idle me, you know, get onto me and get into my knickers, per se, and get me all rattled up. And I'm not going to fall for it. And I'm not going to allow it. And what he presented was that I'm strong, I'm capable, I'm sharp, I can handle all this. He was effective at it.
Okay, how about when he said, I am the Democratic Party?
I love that statement.
What was that supposed to mean?
That is Joe Biden saying, I am not the Democratic Party. I don't know if everybody caught that. He is basically...
Help me understand.
He is absolutely admitting to everyone by making that statement. That's the same as Donald Trump saying, I am the president of the United States. If you have to say that, that says you're not sure you are.
Ah.
And that was absolutely, and everybody knows it. That's the whole thing. Everybody knows that he is not running the Democratic Party. He is not the lead of it. And usually your presidential candidate is, but not this guy. And that was because he was supposed to lose. They expected him to go down in flames. That's why they allowed him to get in there in the first place. Is, hey, Joe, we'll give you your opportunity to tip your hat and you're going to get in there, but we know you're going to lose this thing. They did not expect the COVID thing to hit. They did not expect all this other stuff to come up, which now puts them in the running. And that was the last thing they wanted.
So here we are. We've got, what, less than a month to go before the election. Can we believe the polls? The polls seem to indicate that Biden is really strong heading into this home stretch. What do you say?
Never, ever. Let me repeat this. Never, ever believe any poll. Not from the media, not from the policies. I used to do polls. And I'm telling you right now, I can give you whatever poll you want. If you, whatever outcome you want, to a certain degree, I can get it to you. And it's all in how you answer your question or how you ask your questions, who are the people that you poll, time that you poll it. There's a lot of factors that go into that. But there is no poll that goes out where they're looking for an honest answer and the data is coming back as whatever the data is, it is. every poll has an agenda tied to it. I used to do them all the time.
So even if I agree with it, I shouldn't try to hang my hat on it.
No, because that was it. If you are agreed to it, then they found out who you are and gave you that poll so that they would get the answers that they wanted. The Republicans do it. I did it for the Republicans on multiple occasions, that we would do polls that would give them the outcomes. We did things that we call push polls that were designed very specifically to attack the opponent and show that and it made it look like it's a independent poll. We would go to great lengths to make sure that it was an independent organization doing it, but it was coming from us. And it would be to show that the opponent was weak in an area or that people disapproved of what that individual was doing. But it was rigged from the beginning because I would do six polls and I would only pick the one that would come back. So if I got five that said, no, we don't believe that, and I got one that did, I picked the one that did.
Interesting.
See? Don't, you know, it's not what it appears to be.
Okay, we're going to take a real quick break again. Gary Welch is my guest. When we come back, Gary, let's talk about something that I hope is gaining some traction, and that is the Great Barrington Declaration. Oh, that sounds majestic. And for those who don't know what it is, stick around. I promise you, we will clue you in on the details just the other side of these messages.
Is the Brian Hyde Show. This is the Brian Hyde Show.
Hey, once again, welcome back to the show. Just want to mention Nikki's Wholesale Food Warehouse. This is especially for my listeners in and around the Salt Lake City area. I think we're all doing our best to stretch our grocery shopping dollars as far as we can. Heavens knows it hasn't been super easy, and that's why I want to tell you about Nikki's Wholesale Food Warehouse. In fact, I want to do more than that. I want to encourage you to jump onto Facebook, look it up for yourself, Nikki's Wholesale Food Warehouse. You'll find that they regularly post pictures of what they got in recently, whether it's fresh produce or maybe a nice big rack of buffalo ribs. The variety is almost endless, and they get a lot of their food from different food wholesalers, which means they pass on the savings to you. You get some greatly reduced prices. I'm going to tell you, it's not a big, bright box store. It's a warehouse. But it's a warehouse where I promise you, you can stretch your food dollar as far as possible. And there are some just really amazing deals to be found. Please go to Nikki's Food Warehouse on Facebook. You'll get directions to get there. Go check it out. And if you decide, yeah, this is something I'm going to go do, I'm going to go buy some food there. As you hand them the money, as you hand them your card to pay for your purchase, please mention to them, I'm doing this because I heard Brian talk about you on his program. They'll appreciate knowing that their advertising message reached your ears. Gary Welch is my guest. We are engaging in wrongthink and talking about a number of things that are of importance today. Gary, today was the day I really kind of sat down and wrapped my brain around the Great Barrington Declaration. Had you heard about this before today?
No, I did not. Actually, you were the one that pointed it out to me. And thank you very much for that. I'm glad to see that there's some opposition, credible opposition.
Yeah, this is courtesy of the American Institute for Economic Research, which, again, I'm not telling people this is what you have to do or this is what you should think. But I will tell you, this organization has become one of my go-to resources when I want to understand an issue better. And this has been particularly true. I think they have led out on the COVID-19 issue as well as they have been extremely informative on the fallout and some of the economic impacts that have come from the various lockdown and other policies implemented in response to COVID-19. And in a nutshell, the Great Barrington Declaration is the brainchild of some of the top epidemiologists, economists, and journalists who gathered for several days last week to discuss the global emergency created by the unprecedented use of state compulsion in the management of the COVID-19 pandemic. And Gary, as you looked it over, I'd like to get some of your ideas on where do you think they got it right? Is there something they could have done better?
I think they were spot on in getting it right. Everything that they said was basically the same thing you and I have been saying from the very beginning. And it's always just that same thing, that the government shutdown was unnecessary. The government reaction was an overreaction. And we should have let the disease just do its thing and run through the healthy individuals because they weren't impacted, but simply protect the vulnerable. Then it's a much better solution. It was a much easier solution, and it wouldn't have caused all the problems. I loved that they've also pointed out both the mental issues and the other issues that are involved with all of these lockdowns that have happened.
I'm hoping I've got the contact information, and I'm hoping to connect up with Phil Magnus, who was one of the questioners during this this conference and during the presentations that took place. And I hope to have him on, if not by the end of this week, the first part of next week, just to kind of pick his brain and see what he thought about it. But the idea of using what they called focused protection is so long overdue. And Gary, I have to wonder, this is the pessimist in me wondering how long before Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, you know, their algorithms are tweaked to start locking this down and they start pulling access to this because it's not something we're supposed to know about.
Actually, I think they're going to take the normal strategy that they did with the climate deniers. That's always the better route to go. If you pull it, then you get accused of, you know, manipulating and all that other stuff. But if you let it get out and then you just make sure that the anti message is overwhelming, then that gives it the credibility, like, you know, yeah, we're being fair. We're giving it to them. And yeah, as you can see, obviously this is not popular. And obviously most people disagree with it. And obviously all these other scientists are disagreeing with them. So these guys are just nothing but a bunch of quacks. You know, that's what they did with the climate change. They never, I mean, they did kind of stifle it a little bit, but for the most part, let out enough so that you can appear to be unbiased and then make sure that it dies in an overwhelming amount of quote unquote evidence.
Well, it's nice to see experts, and I don't mean that experts because I agree with them, but simply experts who aren't tied at the hip to a government paycheck or someone else's political agenda. You know, they're not the front man for Dr. Fauci's agenda, saying that there are other ways that this could have been handled and that perhaps we should be handling this as we move forward. But clearly, that doesn't sit well with those who have that vested interest in maintaining control and maintaining their grip on power for the time being.
So when we opened the hour, you know, we were talking about being a wrong thinker. And I think one of the things that I need to advise our fellow wrong thinkers is you need to be patient and you need to be persistent. You need to be patient because right now everybody's operating out of fear. Your little personal situation where the gal looked at you like, are you out of your mind? This is just absolutely crazy. How could you be saying this about COVID? That's still very relative. I am still seeing individuals out in the middle of the street with nobody around them for, you know, half a mile. And there they are with their mask on, you know, just because they're all freaked out. We've got to let it play out. We've got to let it go. But we need to be persistent and patient in saying this message. And this Great Barrington Declaration is part of the message that we need to be talking about, saying, look, these guys are agreeing with us and that this is the right approach we should have taken. We can't do anything about 2020, but I want to do something about 2021 to make sure we don't go through this again. And I do feel, I don't know, maybe you'll disagree with me, but I feel that there is a shift going on in the tide. I mean, there's still a lot of people out there that are scared, but I'm seeing more and more people saying, I'm taking off the mask, I'm going back to life, I'm done with this thing.
Well, I think there's going to be a contest of wills. I see that, too. And I'm one of those people who's just like, enough. I'm ready to get back to as great a degree of normal as I possibly can. However, it appears that there are no shortage of government officials, health officials, and then just flat out, what my friend Eric Peters calls Gesundheitsführers, who are determined, nope, we need to lock it all down and lock it down harder. And they just are insistent that people must do what they are told, as opposed to everybody weigh the risks and make your own best decisions as to, you know, what is acceptable to you and what isn't.
So one of the things is going to help us is the consequences. We still haven't seen the full impact of the consequences of what they did. But as those ramifications come up, as your favorite restaurant closes and it's closed for good, never to come back, and you're sitting there going, you know what? Man, I wish I could go eat there, but man, they're gone. I can't do that. And you see all the changes that have occurred because of that. As that starts interrupting your life and as that starts having this long-term impact on your life, people are going to start, you know, feeling those chains. And they're going to say, you know what, I don't like this. That's what we capitalize on, and that's when our message is going to be heard. Right now, the other guys are controlling the narrative, and we just got to keep on talking. I'm not saying give up, but at the same time, I'm saying don't be surprised that you're not getting this swell of people going, hey, we're in.
Okay, we got a minute here. Let's make the most of it, Gary. What do you recommend? What's something that each one of us could be doing right now to better our understanding, better our position, to exercise some influence on the world around us?
So one of the things I am excited about, this Great Barrington Declaration, here's the thing that I think we should be doing, and that is get that out. Get that message out, get that declaration out, because here's the thing. I think there's a lot of health directors and people that believe that will say, yeah, we're right, but they don't know about it. And we need them to get on jump. We need this overwhelming amount of scientists and you know, virologists and all these other people jumping on board this thing.
Okay. So I'll have a link to this in the show notes. I would encourage you go to thebrianhydeshow.com. Consider subscribing to the podcast. Consider becoming a wrong thinker. Consider throwing a couple of shekels our way and supporting the program through a regular donation. Could be $1, $5, $10. Every bit helps. Gary, thank you so much for being a part of the program today.
Thank you, Brian.
This is the Brian Hyde Show.